Well, our text this morning is found in the passage we read, John chapter 21. And it is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to Peter. He says these things three times in verses 15 to 17. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? It's a very simple question, isn't it? And in essence, it requires a simple answer. You may be a Christian, but how much do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Sometimes we live in a way or we do things that don't really show our love for him. Sometimes we grow cold to the things of God. Sometimes, sadly, we even wander away from the pathway. But for all of us, I suspect it's the case that we don't love the Lord Jesus Christ as much as we ought to. Perhaps there's someone listening this morning and you're not sure whether you're a Christian or not. Well, this is the supreme test. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? The scripture says, as many as loved him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. If you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're not a child of God. You're not saved. There may be someone who knows that they're not saved. You have an interest in Christian things, else you wouldn't be listening in this morning. But you know that you've never truly trusted in him. You have no assurance of heaven in your heart. And the question again is this: do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? And so this question is relevant to each and every one of us. Well, as we consider it, I want to think this morning about the entreaty, the example, the examination, and the evidence. We begin with the entreaty. Jesus says here, "Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me?" Love is at the very heart of the Christian message. It's a religion of love. When Jesus summarized the law, he did so like this. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength." And then he said, "And thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself." Love for God and love for fellow man. One leads to the other. And the starting point there, therefore, is love for God and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Love for God is commanded in the Old Testament scriptures. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, it says, "What doth the Lord require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Lovest thou me? It's a question that permeates the Old Testament scriptures, the New as well, of course. But it permeates the Old Testament scriptures. In the beginning, God created man and he placed him in the Garden of Eden. His needs were provided. God gave him a wife. God talked with him every day in the garden. Only one thing was forbidden, and that was the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it was as though that tree cried out, "Lovest thou me?" But apparently man didn't. He took the fruit that was forbidden. He broke the command of God and sin came into the world. Some years later, some centuries later, in fact, the earth had become so wicked that God decided to destroy the earth with a flood and start again. Only one man loved God and found favour with him, and only Noah and his family were saved alive. When God would test Abraham's love, he told him to go to Mount Moriah and to offer his son Isaac there as a sacrifice to Almighty God. Abraham went with heavy heart, but when Abraham was about to bring down the knife to slay his son, God stopped him. And God said, "Now I know that thou fearest God." Here we see the depth of Abraham's love for God, that he was willing to sacrifice his own son. When we look at King David, we see the great love that he displayed for the Lord. And he exhorts us in Psalm 31, O love the Lord, all ye his saints. Solomon, we're told, loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. When we look at the kings, some of them loved God, and very sadly some of them didn't. The prophets constantly reproved Israel for their adultery, their spiritual adultery, that is, their lack of love to the Lord. But Isaiah 56 promises eternal blessings to those who love him. Well, the one who speaks here in our text is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says to us through his word, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? God reveals himself through his Son, and the supreme test of love for God is whether we love the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many people today of various religions who claim to love God, but they have no love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to the Jews in John chapter 8, verse 42, if God were your Father, ye would love me. When we look around today in this world, we see the spirit of Antichrist at large, not just a lack of love for the Lord Jesus Christ, but a hatred, a bitterness towards him. If you come out with us to preach on the streets, we're not able to do that at the moment, but it's very evident there, this hatred, this bitterness towards the Lord Jesus Christ. They cry as of old, we will not have this man to rule over us. Jesus told a parable about a man who planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants. And in due time he sent his servants to claim the rightful revenue from them. But they beat the servant and they sent him away. And so he sent a second servant and a third, and they did the same. They beat them and they sent them away. And so he decided to send his sons, thinking that they would reverence him. But they took the son and they beat him and they killed him. I'm sure the application is very clear to us. God has given mankind this world. And he deserves our love and our praise and our service. He sent his prophets, and they were rejected, they were despised, some of them were killed. And so he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and him too they rejected and crucified upon a cross. 2,000 years ago that took place, but still the question comes to us as it came to the Jews. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Will you despise him and reject him? Or will you receive him and love him and worship him? Well, today the Spirit of God draws near to us and applies the words of Jesus to our hearts. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? We sang that hymn by William Cowper. Hark, my soul, it is the Lord. 'Tis thy Saviour, hear his word. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Well, the question this morning is, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to think next about the example that we have here before us, Simon Peter. Peter was one of the disciples who always seemed to be very close to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a fisherman. He left his nets in order to follow the Lord. He spent 3 years with Jesus, learning from him and serving him. He was there when Jesus fed 5,000 people, and afterwards he walked to him on the water, at least until his faith began to fail. He was present when the sick were healed and when the dead were raised. He heard the parables and the wonderful teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was with Jesus when God's glory rested upon him in the Mount of Transfiguration. And then came that dreadful hour when the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested and taken away. Peter had previously professed his undying loyalty to Jesus. But as Jesus stood before his accusers, Peter denied him three times. He denied that he ever knew him. And the third time he did so with cursing. And then afterwards we're told he went out and wept. And now here in chapter 21, after his death and resurrection, Jesus comes to his disciples. They were on the sea. They had been fishing all night and they had caught nothing. And Jesus tells them to let down their nets. Well, of course, this wasn't the first time that this had happened in the Gospels, but they let down their nets at his bidding, and suddenly there is this great draft of fishes. And Peter throws off his coat, he jumps into the sea, and he comes to Jesus in haste. And there on the beach, Jesus had prepared a fire, and fish and bread were already laid upon it. And so they sat down together with Jesus and they ate this meal on the beach. After the meal, Jesus asks Peter this question: "Lovest thou me?" Three times he asks the question, "Lovest thou me?" Three times Peter had denied Jesus, and three times Jesus asks him whether he loves the Lord Jesus. There are a number of lessons that we can learn from Peter. Peter previously thought himself incapable of betrayal. And it reminds us that even the best of Christians may be weak in the hour of temptation. You may know the story of Thomas Cranmer, the first Protestant Archbishop of Canterbury during the Reformation. And when he was brought before Roman Catholic judges, he initially recanted his faith out of fear, and nevertheless they still condemned him to death. But in that final hour, his faith came back, and he died giving wonderful testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. The first time here, Jesus says to Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these?" He's alluding to Peter's claim that though all the others forsook him, he would not. Well, the scripture warns us not to think too highly of ourselves. We shouldn't judge others who have fallen because we don't know how we would fare under their circumstances. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." And we can only stand by the grace of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter here felt a great sense of shame and guilt. After his denial, he had gone out and wept. And now he comes seemingly with great enthusiasm, like a disobedient child perhaps, wanting to be forgiven, but not knowing what to say to the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we feel like that. Perhaps we've done something wrong. Perhaps we've offended him. Perhaps we've let him down. And we don't know how to come to the Lord. We don't know what to say. Well, the important thing is that we need to come. We need to seek him in prayer. The worst thing that we can do is keep away from him. And when we do come, we find him like the father of the prodigal rushing out to meet us. And here Peter found that Jesus was ready to receive him and to forgive him. Peter came naked to Jesus. He came as he was, as he'd been fishing. And we must come to Jesus as we are, casting off the cloak of self-righteousness and respectability, acknowledging that without him, we are helpless sinners. We're told that he came in great haste. He didn't wait for the boat to get to shore. He cast himself into the sea in order to get there before everyone else. The speed that individuals come to Christ shows a lot perhaps about how they feel and what they are thinking and how sincere they are. If you recognize your need of forgiveness, then dear friend, you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ with haste. The scripture says, call on him while he is near, seek him while he may be found. And we see here that Peter was forgiven. He was not only forgiven, he was commissioned by the Lord. The forgiveness is evident in the fact that he is commissioned. Jesus says to him, feed my sheep. The first time he says, feed my lambs, and then twice he says, feed my sheep. Peter was to become one of the great apostles of the church. And he is given this commission here to feed the people of God, to teach them, to instruct them, to guide them. Sometimes we feel like Peter. We have offended the Lord. We have failed him. We don't know what to do. And quite often I've found the Lord's response is to give us some new task. He's telling us that he hasn't cast us off. He still has a work for us to do. And we see here that Peter was being prepared for the things that lay ahead. Verse 18, Jesus says to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Well, Jesus here tells Peter that he is to be used, that the Holy Spirit will take him to places he wouldn't otherwise go, and that he would do things that he would perhaps not choose to do. And he is told that he must stretch forth his hands. It says, signifying by what death he would die. And so we are led to believe from this that the Apostle Peter would eventually be crucified like his Lord. Well, God here is speaking to us. He has a task for us to do. We don't know what it is. We may not choose what the Lord has in store for us, but he has called us to follow him. And if we truly love Christ, then he has a plan for our lives. The third thing I want to consider is the examination. Let's think a little bit more deeply on this matter. Peter here is being examined. We this morning, I trust, are being examined by the Lord. When we look at Peter, we see that his failure, his feelings and his faith are all exposed before the Son of God. Do you love me? Jesus asks him three times. He had failed, and yet here he stands before the Lord, and the answer is slowly drawn out from his heart. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Well, I invite you, friends, to examine yourselves this morning. And the question is this, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you to put up your hands or to speak out loud. I can't see you or hear you anyway. But do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Not one of us can avoid the question. It's so direct here in the scriptures. Jesus is speaking to you and he says, lovest thou me? What is your answer to that question? What answer does your heart and conscience give this morning? What answer does your life give in the things that you do and say? Do you have the desire to spend time daily with the Lord Jesus Christ? Could you stand up in front of this camera and tell others what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you? Perhaps you love him a little. Love doesn't always come instantly. It sometimes comes little by little until that moment of realization. It's the case sometimes between partners in life. We meet the one that we're destined to marry. There may be an immediate attraction, there may be love at first sight, but sometimes there's no particular interest. But as two people get to know each other a little bit more, as they spend time together, so they say love blossoms. And so the question is not simply, do you love Jesus? But how much do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might and with all your strength? What reason do we have to love the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it tells us in 1 John 4 verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. His love for us is the catalyst for our love for him. And how do we know that he loves us? How did he show that love? It says in Ephesians 5:2 that Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. When we truly realise that we are hell-deserving sinners, but that Christ died on the cross to bear our sins and to pay for them, offering himself as a sacrifice so that we might be forgiven, to make us acceptable to a holy God, to reconcile us to him. It is then that love for Christ begins to blossom. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Do you know that through him you have forgiveness and eternal life? Is he your saviour? Do you love him? When I realised for the first time that Jesus had died for my sins, that was the time when I truly loved him. I just remember two things on that night when I heard the gospel. I can't tell you what the message was, what the text was, but I know that I understood for the first time that Jesus died for me. And I felt two things: a great sorrow to think that my sin had caused him to die, and a great sense of love to think that he had died for me. Children listening this morning, I want to ask you, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? I hope that you do. Perhaps you love the stories. Perhaps you like to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think I can honestly say that when I was a child, even before I truly became a Christian, I loved the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that this was God working in my heart. As I said earlier, I didn't understand at that stage why Jesus had died. I didn't know that he had died for my sins. And when I realised that, then how much more I loved him and followed him and became a Christian. One way that Christians show their love for the Lord Jesus Christ is through baptism. It's a means of saying to others, I love the Lord Jesus and I want to follow him. Adoniram Judson was a missionary to Burma, one of the first missionaries to Burma, and he laboured there for many years before local people were converted, but then one by one they came to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they would come to him and they would say, I want to be a Christian, I want to follow Jesus. And one of the first things he would say to them is, are you prepared to be baptised? And the inevitable response was, oh no, I don't want to be baptised. I want to be a Christian, but I don't want to be baptised. You see, as Buddhists, they could become Christians and no one would worry about it. But if they were baptised, then their friends and their neighbours would know all about the fact that they had become a Christian, and they would be ostracised and perhaps persecuted in that society. And he would say to them, well, you can't love the Lord Jesus Christ very much if you're not prepared to be baptised. That may seem very hard, but he knew what was good for them. They needed to make a stand and to show their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask each one of you this morning, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? As you're listening to that question, how do you answer it in your heart? Are you following him? Are you obeying him? Are you serving him? Do you love Jesus? Not simply do you respect him, do you admire him, but do you love him? Can you say, this Saviour is my Saviour. He died for me. He rose for me. He's coming again for me. Well, I just want finally for a few minutes to think about the evidence. The evidence. Do you love Jesus? There are two people this morning who can answer that question, and that is you. And the Lord. Peter's answer in this passage, I think, is actually a good one. He'd failed miserably. He'd denied knowing Jesus. He felt that sense of guilt and shame. And he could have spent a very long time trying to justify himself and to prove his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. But words would be insufficient and meaningless. And instead, he invites the Lord Jesus to look into his heart. He's saying, despite my failings, despite my unworthiness, despite the fact that I've let you down, you know that I love you. You know that I love you. Well, can you open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ in that way this morning and say, Lord, you know that I love you. But there are outward evidences of a love for Christ. I want to mention a few briefly. Now, these things won't make you a Christian, but if you are a Christian, then these things will most certainly be evident in your life. And the first evidence is obedience. John 14, verse 21, he that keepeth my commandments, and he that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Do you keep the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, being baptized, we've mentioned, is one of his commandments. And what about the Ten Commandments? Some people say today, oh, well, are they Jesus' commandments? They were given in the Old Testament. They were for the Jews. It's like Satan saying of old, has God said? Are these really the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ? In the very beginning, the Bible says, in the beginning, God, Elohim, is the Hebrew word. It's a plural word with a singular meaning. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. It's telling us that the heavens and the earth were created by the triune God. A plural God, but one God three gods in one. There is only one God, but three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so when we come to Exodus 20, when the Ten Commandments are given, we read there, God, and it's the same word, God, Elohim, spake all these words, saying, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit gave to us the Ten Commandments. And if we love Jesus, we will have that desire to keep the commandments of God. The second evidence is owning Christ. The reason for Jesus' question to Peter is that he had denied the Lord Jesus. But now he's given a new opportunity, a new start. From here he can go out and he can own the Lord Jesus Christ and tell others about him. And when you start reading through the book of Acts, that's exactly what Peter and the others did. If someone never talked about their husband or wife, you'd begin to wonder whether they really loved them, perhaps. And if we love the Lord Jesus, we'll want to tell others about him. Look at the book of Acts. It's all about people going out across the land, indeed across the world, and telling others the wonderful news of a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And following on from that, we can think of Christian service as another evidence of our love for Christ. Jesus here had a task for Peter. He told him to feed his sheep. And the Lord Jesus bids us take up the cross and follow him. He has a work for each and every one of us. Another evidence is love for other Christians. John 13, verse 35, Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Note the conversation that takes place with Peter and the Lord Jesus. Jesus says, do you love me? Peter says, yes, Lord. Jesus says, feed my sheep. He gives him a task to do. He asks him to show his love for fellow Christians in this way. Do you love other Christians? And if so, how often does that show in your life? How does it show in your life? Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. I don't believe that any of us can love one another that much. How much did Jesus love us? Well, he loved us enough to die for us upon the cross. That's the challenge that he lays before us. We are to love one another. And then the final evidence that I want to mention is the joy of the Lord. Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verse 8, speaking of Jesus, he says, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." If we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, if we love him, then we will have what he calls here that joy unspeakable. That means it can't be mentioned. We can't explain it. It's so wonderful. It's an unspeakable joy, and it belongs to those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, do you know the joy of salvation? Do you rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ?